Happy Saturday, everybody. I don't know if it's been a long week for y'all, but it's been a long week for me again. The hard life of a college or a high school student. I was
just fixing to say, oh,
sorry.
Wait a minute.
Almost college. But it's almost, well, it's not really Christmas break yet. It's coming.
Thanksgiving. Oh, man, you can't just roll over Thanksgiving like that.
But Christmas is the long break.
Oh.
Yeah. We're almost there.
You're getting a break this weekend.
Yeah, I am getting a break this
weekend. You are getting a break.
I just not a 3-week break.
I'm sorry. You can't cut class that long.
But I want to.
Did you hear that sigh so we gave out right before we went on the air? She's like, and she's scratching. Itching her ears or rolling, doing something. I don't know. Yes, welcome in to Saturday, another Saturday on Woods and Water, South Carolina. We don't say this enough. You can listen to us on 94.5 WGTK in the upstate, and then 100.7 WQXL, The Point,
Columbia.
I guess The Answer in Greenville. And seriously, GTK is a 100,000-watt station. So you can hear this show from Bogart, Georgia, almost to Charlotte, North Carolina, and from above Asheville, depending on where you are in the mountains, all that, down to the where I-26 opens up in the, what, 6 lanes in Columbia? Mm-hmm. So, and anywhere that's, it's a huge signal. And then QXL in Columbia pretty much is Richland County, Lexington County, and then because it's on the fall line, it doesn't come up much towards the upstate, but it drops off down towards the coast. So you're a little bit of Sumter County, Orangeburg County, down in through there. So, yeah. And you can listen online if you're ever not in the signal range. Both stations have a Listen Live link on their websites. You can click the Listen Live links and get us there. And I'm pretty sure both of them are on TuneIn, too, the TuneIn app. So, yeah, if you're just not at home, I hate when it does that. If you're just not at home on a Saturday and you want to catch up with the show, you can do it there. I'm sorry, I'm about 6 months behind on getting the podcast on the website. It's just, man, it's just been busy. Busy, busy, busy. And it doesn't seem to be letting up either. Of course, everybody out there, everybody knows what I'm talking about. Everybody's just covered up. So anyway. But yeah, man, it's this past week was nice. This week, coming week is gonna be nice. If the leaves are starting to change, I don't know what the altitude is right now, but it's gonna start getting good. There are already some real vivid reds from maples over down here. So get you a trail. Oh, speaking of trails, we're gonna have Allison Rocks coming on. She's our quote unquote hiking contributor. We're going to talk about some hiking stuff. She's, she is somewhere all the time, and she's doing this Make-A-Wish hike. So that'll be fun to catch up with her and get some hiking tips for this fall. Mm-hmm. You going to make it there?
Mm-hmm.
You sure?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Don't we have a calendar?
We have a calendar. God, it's about the third time that number has called me. Good thing Verizon or my spam filter silences it. Yes, we have a calendar of events brought to you by Visit Anderson and
Green Pond Landing and Event Center.
And to kick it off for you ladies out there, this is kind of fun. Artemis, South Carolina, a fireside chat, Thursday the 26th. Can't read it. That's why I printed it twice. Tuesday. Thursday. Yikes. And what, I can't read that. Why? This is just...
Oh, not the magnifying glass app.
No, I'm not pulling out the magnifying glass. I'm pulling out the calendar just to see when Tuesday is. But this is ridiculous. The 26th. I can't even read that. It's just... Anyway, this month's topic, get those kids outside. Time spent outdoors with family is time well spent. Rarely do children look back fondly on the day they played a video game, but they are far more likely to remember catching fireflies or skipping rocks. So, Allie, Eberle, mom of 3-year-old Camden, will introduce us to several fun activities and ways to make your kids want to spend time outside. So there you go. Tuesday, October 26th, 6:30. And there is a link on the National Wildlife Federation page, nwf-org. Where you can register, and then you get a confirmation email and information about joining the Zoom meeting.
Are you done with that one?
I'm done.
That was hard.
That was hard.
Waccamaw National Wildlife Refuge in Georgetown is putting on youth deer and hog hunts. And these hunts are going to be November 10th, 12th, December 1st, and December 4th for ages 7 to 17. Stands are provided, an adult can be provided, but if you are going to go, an adult at least 21 years of age or older who is licensed to hunt big game, and deer tags are provided. You can apply by sending some information to Waccamaw, NWR, at fws.gov. And
so Waccamaw National Wildlife Refuge.
All you got to provide is the youth's name, contact number, an email address, and a list of dates that you're applying for. But the deadline is Sunday. So, y'all don't miss that.
Yeah, don't miss that. Veterans encouraged to apply for Cowden Plantation deer hunts. The Department of Natural Resources and Cowden Plantation near Jackson, South Carolina, I'm not mistaken, that's Kenny Jarrett's place, are offering their thanks and appreciation to our military, whether active, retired, reserved, or disabled, in memory of Thomas Kaufman, by hosting two free deer hunts on November the 12th and December the 3rd. Successful applicants will have lunch for the hunt, as well as the opportunity to tour the Jarrett Rifles Gun Shop and Museum in Jackson, South Carolina. For those interested in attending one of the hunts, please fill out an application. It's a PDF file on the DNR website, and you have to email it to Captain Ben Thomas, and that deadline is October the 30th, and then you'll be notified upon successful drawing of your application.
SDNR is putting on a saltwater family fishing clinic in Georgetown at Winya Bay on Friday, October 29th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And to go register for that event, you can go to the DNR website.
Speaking of Department of Natural Resources, their application process is open for the 2022 summer internship programs. These are 12-week summer internships at multiple locations throughout the state. Interns gain wildlife and fisheries management field experience. They provide the opportunity to participate in electrofishing, river and stream sampling, fish aging, dove banding, wildlife and plant surveying, and prescribed burning. Management activities vary based on location. For more information, www.dnr.sc.gov/admin/internships-WFF. The deadline to apply is October the 29th.
Turkey Shoots, hosted by Low Country Field of Dreams, is going to be held every Friday from October 15th until Thanksgiving. Winners from each round will be brought back on November 26th for a shoot-off for a chance to win a gun. And those are going to be held in Ridgeville. And y'all can find them on Facebook and Instagram at Low Country Field of Dreams.
National Deer Alliance in the Foothills branch, which is my branch, is offering the Foothills Ranch Spooktacular Rifle. Got Benelli's and a bunch of other guns. Benelli, Christensen arm in 6.5, a Bagheera B14 rifle in 300 Win Mag, Shadow Systems 9mm pistol, Palmetto State Armory PA15 and 5.56. One winner for each gun will be drawn via random drawing live on the Foothills NDA Facebook page. Winners can claim their firearms if they get them, and the proceeds will benefit the NDA Youth New Adult Military Hunts, SCDR, South Carolina Hunters for the Hunger, and more. And that drawing date is November the 1st at 8 o'clock. So go to National Deer Alliance, look up Foothills Chapter, and get us in. So we'll get back to whatever we got, what you got. So hang on, we'll be back with more Woods and Water, South Carolina. Allison, talking about hiking on the next segment. I'll hang in there. Come on, bob your head, Taylor.
No.
Come on, bob your head.
No.
You know you want to.
No.
Yes, you do.
No. You can keep saying that all you want to, and it's not going to happen.
Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. As the weather cools a little bit and the leaves come out and pop, and then even after the leaves are off the trees, is just one of those times where you want to be out on the trail. And as advertised last segment, we got Allison Rock with us, who is our quote-unquote hiking contributor.
We were talking
before, man, the rafting trip we did in July seems like ages ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great memories, though.
Oh, yeah. That was funny. I've tried to put all four of us together, Heather, our guide, and the three of us together, but it just didn't work out for this show. But we are going to do that show because she was so much fun, and we had so much fun. And I'm not going to spoil it by saying what we laughed and giggled and had fun with and all that, because that would just ruin the whole thing next time. But we have got to make that happen. I got to get them to get her on and talk about it, because that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was.
I think our smiles were as big as the raft that day. You know? We just had such a great time.
Oh, it was wonderful. And for those of you who weren't around when we did that, that was went up with South Carolina 7. That was one of their stops during every July, is to go whitewater rafting on the Chattooga. And, man, what a beautiful – it's not Deliverance country. You know, it's Paddle Faster Boys, I hear banjo music. did you hear about the canoe they found up there? Shortly after we were there, they found a canoe up on the Chattooga.
And they unearthed it, and it's going to be on display for a while.
Yeah.
That is really neat.
They're saying it's like 200 years old or something like that.
About as old as you are, right?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Depending on what day I'm in, you know.
Can feel
younger or older. It's nothing like taking grief from both your guests.
You left that one wide.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you did.
Well, you just didn't have to hit me over the head with it. Gosh. Oh, man. Okay, I'm taking control of this now. No more fun, no more games, no more hitting me over the head with stuff about being old.
Uh-huh.
But no, that was a fun time. And, yeah, that's that story about the canoe is pretty mm-hmm. cool, because normally you don't get canoes up on a section of river like the Chattooga, and they're trying to figure out who made it and how long it's been there and what it was used for. So pretty cool.
It makes you realize how blessed we are in the upstate and even in just all of South Carolina to have all these beautiful resources that we do.
Right. And all within 3 or 4 hours drive, no matter where you live. That's the thing.
Oh yeah.
It's close. It's not like you've got to drive from here to Colorado to get to it.
Yeah.
It's here. Speaking of Colorado, mm-hmm. you just got back from Glacier National Park.
I did. That was like a bucket list trip that really wasn't on my radar this year, and I just got so lucky. Glacier is beyond incredible, and we were talking earlier that trip is so weather dependent.
Yeah,
because it snows so early in the season, you just never know what's going to happen in October as far as weather goes. That going to the Sun Road is very special. I like to think of it as like maybe the Blue Ridge Parkway, where you just get on it and you can pull off and see different things and hike and see waterfalls. I could spend all day there.
Probably did part of the day while you're out there, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. We put in 12 and 14-hour days just to take everything in, because our time there was very limited, and we definitely maximized our time. It was awesome. It was really, really awesome. I'd say a midweek trip for folks, if they can plan it that way, you'll definitely have the road to yourself a little bit more than on the weekends.
We were there. It was almost 90% sucked in with fog.
Oh, but still, that's pretty, though.
Oh, yeah. It's, yeah.
I mean, it's.
You kind of look over the edge, and it just disappears in the fog. You're like, okay, not sure how far down I'd go before I'd hit bottom.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's just magical. Like, every turn you take on going to the Sun, it's just
something
like this
different.
Jaw-dropping, picturesque landscape. And you're like, oh, I've got to stop and take a photo.
Uh-huh.
And then you drive 300 yards, and you're like, I need to stop and take another photo, because this is pretty, too.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Alaska.
What a neat trip.
Yep. That's it. I was Taylor, wouldn't it be fun to watch Alice in Alaska? Her head would be spinning. She just wouldn't know which way to go.
I'm telling you, the United States, and it, so I got a little park passport for the national parks and the national monuments while I was out at Glacier.
Okay.
So this is technically my first national park. And so now I'm so giddy to go explore all the other places in the United States and even the state parks in South Carolina.
Yeah.
I'm working on getting their passports.
Okay.
Too.
Okay.
So it's just something to kind of strive for to get more stamps and go exploring more.
Because time passes. It waits for nobody.
Yeah.
Speaking of time, it is that time of the year when, you know, a lot of people are out leaf watching. And like I said, even after the leaves are off the trees, man, hike it. Because that's when your views really blow up. I mean, the places you can see with the leaves off the trees, you know, we all love leaves and they're nice and cool and green and then turn nice colors and all. But, man, when they're off the trees, that means you can see so much that the leaves hide. And but it's time to get out on the trail, and you have been busy. I mean, I'm sitting here nine times preserve, Pickens County, Daffodil Flats, Linville Gorge, Grandfather Mountain, Peters Creek Heritage Preserve, Foothills Spur Trail, Points at State Park, Saluda Riverwalk, Columbia Lands for Neck Canals. Youngs Mountain Trail. You've 45 hikes for the year, 341 miles, and you're on 91 of 100 since starting the Hiker Babes Journey to 100 Hikes.
I'm getting there.
You stay on the trail, don't you? Yeah.
That's right. Someone joked and said, man, you stay in them woods, don't you? I love it. I love everything about hiking. And this is a great time of the year for anybody that's looking to get into it and just get into the woods and explore nature. This is the time to start.
Two of these... Well, we won't call them walks, but if you got small kids and strollers right now, I mean, we were up at DuPont this past weekend with Jordan and Daniel, my grandson, in a stroller, and then a little, you know, chest pack carrier and all that. Now, with small kids, probably not time to strike out on a long mountainous hike and all, but you got two of these on here. Now, we've been to Lansford Canal State Park, Taylor, and seen all the ruins and all, and then you've got Saluda Riverwalk in Columbia. Talk about those two when it comes to just the ease of getting accessible and the ease of the walks in those two areas.
Well, the Saluda Riverwalk, I had been eyeing that for quite some time. My family lives in Columbia, and so I was home one weekend, and I loved it because it's a paved path. I wouldn't really consider it a hike,
sure,
more like a stroll following the river. And so it's paved. It's got probably 8 to 9 foot wide path, so it's perfect for people to walk side by side in a stroller, like you said. I loved it because the closer that you get to Riverbank Zoo, you can hear the animals howling. And that was a neat experience for me because I actually worked at Riverbank Zoo. And so we called on the howler monkeys or whatever.
Yeah.
So they were really kind of showing out the day that I was there. But it's just, you never know what you're going to see out on the river. You might see some cranes, or you might see a fish jump in, or I actually saw a white-tailed deer that day on the Saluda Riverwalk and had a cool, you know, 3 to 5 minute encounter just staring him down. And it was beautiful. And then Lansford Canal, gosh, please, to the listeners, check out the spider lilies when they're in season in the spring. I had never been able to see those even when I lived in the Rock Hill area. And so I planned it this year that the river, the Catawba River, was low enough to where I could go out there and see them this year. I messed up and I just walked at the state park, but you can rent kayaks. And that personally is probably the best way to see those lilies is by a kayak. And that would be a cool experience.
You know, you were there on a weekend where I was in Chester. Because I remember we talked, and I called the park ranger, and I talked a little bit to him about, you know, putting a canoe in and coming down and all. And he said, you got to watch out when that water's lower. There's so many rocks in that river, you'll be portaging and all that stuff more than you'll be, you know, floating or whatever. So that's one thing to be careful about when you're at Lansford Canal. But, yeah, you got a little adventurous there and hiked out to some of them, didn't you?
I won't tell you how I reached one of the lilies, but it required me to straddle a broken pine tree that was like in the water. And yeah, I was bound and determined that day that I was going to get a close up shot of the spider. Because I said, gosh, I'm here. Yep. I really want to see these beautiful plants. Yep.
They are. There's something else
I highly recommend down there too.
You know, I think that's the largest population of spider lilies, because there's like a downstream one in Georgia that's smaller than that one. But I think that spider lily area there at Lancaster Canal is one of the largest in the United States. And I only think there's a couple here in the Southeast to begin with.
Well, here we go. So while you were talking, uh-oh, I just Googled it.
Okay, you got a minute.
The Catawba River is home to the largest known stand of the Rocky Shoal spider lily, a flower species found predominantly in the Southeast.
There you go.
So there you go. Peak bloom is May and June. So listeners, put that on your to-do list for 2022 and make a stop to Lancaster Canal.
And we'll put a plug in here for the SciCon State Parks, because you can buy, $99 to get a state park pass?
That is so reasonable when you think about what all you're able to do at the state parks.
47 SciCon State Parks. Mm-hmm. 46 of them have water.
So, wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a deal. And I tell you, and all you got to do is go. We were up at Lake Cassie the other day, mm-hmm, at Devil's Fork, and it was $8 to park. So, I mean, you don't have to use it, but a few times, and it pays for itself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And when you think about that money going back into preserving these awesome resources and building new trails, I'm happy to pay $99,
sure,
right?
Absolutely.
Like, money well spent.
Money well spent. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Because it is access to the outdoors. It is access. It's all right, Taylor. We got 35 seconds.
I'm just watching it.
I know you
weren't
are.
Watching it.
I'm watching it. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Allison, hang on, because I want to ask you about the Foothill Spur Trail that you did this summer. And also, you're doing the Make-A-Wish again this year, and that's an important thing that I think a lot of people might get involved in. So y'all hang on. You can listen to a little music. We'll be back with more Woods and Water South Carolina on the other side. But don't think I don't think about it. No, no. Don't think I don't. Don't think I don't. Carlos Santana there.
Dad, stop mall copping again. I'm telling you, that is exactly what you look like.
Well, I'm glad I look like something.
Really?
Not only am I 200 years old, I look like the guy in Mall Cop. Okay, I'm taking a pounding today. It's all right. I can take it.
I normally get the pounding, so you just...
Yeah. That's because you asked for it, though. I normally don't ask for
it. I don't understand. How is it always me that's asking for it?
Okay, Allison, you were there on the Chattooga River when she asked to be dunked twice, didn't you?
I did not ask. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it was a nice warm day. Might as well just go ahead and get wet anyway.
Didn't she just ask for it? I mean, because she didn't want to get in, she was asking for it.
Okay.
I can play sides on this.
That's exactly right.
At least I didn't fall off like you said I was going to.
Yeah, I tried. Okay, well, Allison, we talked a little bit about Lancaster Canal. Back to subject here, the Saluda River Walk. You also did the Foothill Spur Trail, and that's, you know, this time of the year, leaves changing. You can see four states from up there because the air is so clear. Talk about that Foothill Spur Trail from Sassafras Mountain at the overlook to Caesar's Head.
It's beautiful. Until I actually purchased the Foothills Trail map, which I highly recommend because the volunteers are so detailed and they take awesome time in making that map. But it wasn't until I got the Foothills Trail map that I realized there was a 14-mile spur trail starting at Sassafras and running to Caesar's Head. And that's actually the route that I would recommend doing it. I wouldn't recommend starting at Caesar's Head and working up to Sassafras. I would not do that. But did not pass hardly any people on that trail. And I recommend having two cars to kind of shuttle, because otherwise you're going to be doing 28 miles in one day. But it's beautiful. There's these, I hope I'm saying this right, the geodetic survey markers, you know, that are like in the mountains.
Yeah.
Those were out there, and Dolves Mountain and Bursting Rock Mountain is out that way. And you get a clear view back towards Table Rock, which it's neat to, now that I know where that is, hike Table Rock and look back and know what mountain I'm looking at. So, yeah, anybody that's looking for like a more challenging hike, that's kind of worked their way up to longer distance hikes, I recommend it. The Foothills Spur Trail from Sassafras to Caesar's Head, be about 14 miles, really good elevation. The leaves would be beautiful this time of year, and you'd probably have the trail to yourself, so you wouldn't have to fight with anybody at any of the pretty mountainous overlooks.
You mentioned a map, and that's probably, you know, you always talk about gear when we come on. That's probably a piece of, it's not really gear, but it's something you really need to have.
Oh, absolutely. And especially hiking in the upstate. That was one thing when I was out in Glacier. I know we talked about Glacier in the last segment, but out there, you very rarely have cell phone reception. So hard copy maps is something that I had to learn how to read and understand pretty quick out in Wyoming and Washington and Idaho when we were traveling.
Yeah.
Because there was just no cell phone reception. So I use All Trails all the time for hiking. That's where I find a lot of my hikes, and I like to track myself so that I know that I'm on the right track.
Okay.
But yeah, you can't go wrong with a hard copy map, and you can find them at the state parks on their website, or Foothills Trail or Palmetto Trail. They have really detailed kiosks at the trailheads, or they're on the website for you to find. So definitely don't leave home without a map. That's maybe one of the first things in hiker safety that I always like to tell folks.
So I downloaded the All Trails app to my phone, and you're saying that most of the time in South Carolina, you will have enough cell coverage to get to the maps once you're on the trails. But
yeah, and I use there's a paid version and there's a free version of All Trails.
Okay.
And right now the free version has just done me and served me well.
Okay.
But I believe you can actually download those files to your phone based on people's previous courses. So you could just track their course with the pro version. But I've never really had to use it because I've just been so familiar with the other trails.
Gotcha.
But yeah, definitely look into that. All Trails, the pro version, they go on sale around a lot of big holidays.
Okay.
And it's relatively cheap when it comes to like your safety and, and knowing where you're at.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you can't really put a price tag on that, right?
No, not until you're faced with it. But yeah, it's funny. You pull up the All Trails and it says, you know, want to let them know where you are while you're using the app, and all of a sudden it pops up with top trails nearby, and they're all in Greenville County. I'm like, oh, this is just freaky.
Yeah,
it knows where I am.
Technology is so useful.
Yeah.
And especially as a solo hiker like myself, I always like to tell folks where I'm going.
Yeah.
Some of the state parks have little check-in kiosks where you fill out your itinerary, where you plan to go, when you plan on returning. That way it gives them an idea. If something does happen to you, they at least have a general idea of where to start looking for you.
Sure.
So I always try to I overshare with folks where I'm going, what I'm doing, just because you just never know what's out there on the trail. It's usually, you know, 10 times out of 10, you usually have a great experience, but that one time that things kind of get a little hairy out there.
Got about 4.5 minutes. Make a wish. I know you're doing it again this year. It's not something you take lightly when you get involved with it, because there's a lot going in, but you're almost to the hike itself. So take a few minutes and talk about the make a wish, you know, how to get involved in this, how to plan out, because it's an involved thing to do all these practice hikes and all. And then Taylor's got some questions for you about the end result.
Okay. So the Make-A-Wish Trailblaze Challenge is a one-day, 28.3-mile hike along the Foothills Trail. It's not a race, by any means. It's really kind of a journey to simulate what Wish families go through during their medical journey. And these are kids that range from 2 years old to 18 years old that have critical illnesses. So we're talking tough stuff like cancer or leukemia or cystic fibrosis. And Make-A-Wish grants these children wishes so that they can go out and do the things that they want to do while they are recovering. And the most common wish is a trip to Disney, which because of COVID, that's been restructured a bit. So sure. Now people are requesting room makeovers or game room setups or trick out my truck or RVs or campers so that they can still go explore safely with their family.
Sure.
But this hike raises money so that we can go and grant more wishes. There's probably 100 hikers from all over South Carolina that participate in this in both the spring and the fall. So they do it every year. And this is, I believe, the sixth year in South Carolina that they have done a Trailblaze Challenge.
Okay.
So if anybody hears this and it kind of just strikes a chord with them, I would just suggest looking up the Make-A-Wish Trailblaze Challenge.
Which I just did.
Jody Wilbanks and Michelle Rice are the team leaders behind this at Make-A-Wish, and they have an email address, which is outdooradventures@sc.wish.org. And I would just be on the lookout for some information sessions. They typically start in February for like recruitment. And then you'll start training for 16 weeks. You don't just wake up one day and just jump out on the trail and say, I'm going to hike 28.3 miles today. They really get you ready for this. It's like a 16-week training period where they work with you and make sure that you're ready and you're trained both mentally and physically. And this year's group, I'm really, really proud to say we've raised more than $310,000 this year.
Wow.
So I'm really, really proud of that.
Now, you kind of had an interesting way you were raising money this year, Taylor. You got something about that.
Yeah, I think we ran into you downtown Greer.
Fourth of July.
With a bag of aluminum cans. How many did you end up collecting?
Yeah, I've been known to do some crazy things, but with COVID, I didn't feel comfortable going to my normal sponsors and asking them to contribute a bunch of money just because so much has changed for these businesses over the last 2 years.
Right.
So I've always been an advocate for cleaning up the environment and picking up trash. And so I started setting my cans aside when I was picking up litter off the side of the road. Then I started telling folks about what I was doing. So they started setting their cans aside. And then I knew that Greer was having a Freedom Blast, 4th of July event, where they would be selling some beer and refreshments and that sort of thing. So here I go, just collecting cans, and they all add up. I am thankfully through with that effort right now. I'm not collecting any more cans.
Okay.
But I recycled 860 pounds of cans.
Golly.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was really cool. I think it opened a lot of eyes to people because even I learned that it takes 200 years for a can to decompose in the landfill.
Wow.
200 years.
Wow.
So I hope that I've opened some eyes for some folks. I've raised some really good awareness for Make-A-Wish, and folks will continue recycling after this is all over.
Very cool. Allison, fun as always. We will continue to have a good time with you. For the rest of y'all, folks, hang on. We'll be right back with the last segment of the show for today, for Woods and Water, South Carolina.
All right. See you on the trail.
See ya. Have you got this yet?
What?
That's right. You're too young to watch Caddyshack.
I was wondering what in the world that was. Jeez.
Oh.
I had an idea.
You had an idea?
For next week. I think we should download all Halloween music, like Michael Jackson.
Ooh, Thriller.
Because, you know, next Sunday is Halloween.
It is.
Mm-hmm. I'm always thinking.
Always thinking. That can be fun. I don't know. We'll have to check out Global Music Rights, see what we can use, what we can't use. But anyway.
The only downside of downloading music.
Yeah. What a great movie, though. Mm-hmm. Oh, ran out. Oh, well. Yeah, that's kind of, if you've ever watched Caddyshack, you'll get the groundhog or whatever up front. Groundhog? What? Yeah, I guess he is a groundhog. Gopher? Whatever.
I think it was a gopher.
It's a gopher, okay. Like Chunkers out here. No, Chunkers is a groundhog.
Chunkers is a groundhog.
Yeah, Chunkers has a friend now.
Does he?
Yeah. There's a couple of them out there now, so.
Wow.
Good for Chunkers.
That's our afternoon entertainment. Around like 4 o'clock every day,
out in the backyard.
He looks like he weighs 25, 30 pounds. Like he's a big ball of fluff.
I need to get a hold of Scott Laceth. Sporting chef.
I don't want to eat Chunkers.
Oh, come on now. He can probably tell us a way
Chunkers
we can eat Chunkers.
Family.
Chunkers scared the fire out of me the other day. I walked out. The boat's parked right here outside my office door. I walked out the office door. Chunkers is on the bank on the other side of the boat and just takes off through the... And then just... I was just not expecting him to be right there out my back door.
He was under my car the other day.
Well, he's getting brave.
I was like,
he needs to become dinner. Okay.
I still have calendar stuff.
We have. Thanks to Allison. She does a great job. She is on the trail all of the time. And we appreciate her being part of the show when she can. So, and now is a great time to get out there. But, yeah, let somebody know. Have a trail map. Where are you going to go? Stay on the trail. That's the most important thing when you're out there hiking. Stay on the trail. There are trails there for a reason so you don't get lost.
Unless you're trying to make your way to the river to go fly fishing, then you can kind of...
There's somewhere along the way the trail will go down the river.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
But other times, I mean, as long as you can see where you're going to the river,
yeah,
you're
that's
fine.
It. Just don't strike off through the woods.
Yeah. We did that in Alaska, and... The first sign we had that was no good was a pile of bear crap right there.
Yeah, in the trail. Okay. Yeah.
I don't think we're going to keep doing that.
That could be on any trail in Alaska.
That is true.
Yeah. We were just.
Still. And then
we were on a game trail, not a people trail.
There was a sign that was like, beware of moose, because there was like a bunch of berries back there. It was like a big row of berry bushes.
That whole hillside was
full
of berries.
And so I was like, I don't feel like getting... trampled by a moose.
Or
either,
eaten
so we're
by
just
a bear.
Gonna,
yeah.
We're just gonna
go back and hit the road. We walked the road for the most part on that one. But anyway, all right. You still have something.
I have one more calendar. Do you have any more calendars?
No, I don't.
Okay.
You go ahead.
Seaway's coming back to Charleston, February 17th through the 20th.
Yes.
Are we gonna be there?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
Can you skip school for a couple days?
Is that even a question?
It obviously
was. It's not. I physically can, but I don't know if my...
We'll figure it out when we get
we'll
here.
We'll figure it out. Okay. It is the 40th anniversary.
There you go.
Dang. And it wasn't on last year, was it? Because of COVID.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was. But if you go
to buy
your...
it was.
I didn't think it was.
I thought we went last year.
Mm-mm. I didn't
it all know. Runs together.
If you go online to buy your tickets now, if you use promo code CWE2022, you get 20% off all general admission tickets now through November 1st. And you can get general admission. You can get VIP.
Well, they got all sorts of
and
stuff.
And like 3-day passes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But yeah, start planning for CWE now. Make your hotel reservations.
It's
get
worth
your tickets.
It. It's so
yeah,
worth
it's
it.
It's so much worth it. All right. Oh, you got one more thing here.
No, this isn't calendar.
Okay. So DNR came up with a video. Sometimes it's easier just to take what's out here than try to redo it again. So this is Jay Cantrell talking about deer herd management. This is Ask a Biologist.
Hey, I'm Jay Cantrell, wildlife biologist with the Big Game Program with SCDNR. With deer season upon us in South Carolina, we wanted to take a few minutes and talk about deer herd management. And in harvest management, the best thing you can do is keep good quality records of the deer that you harvest every season. you know, have a clipboard, have a data sheet at your hunt club or your property, and write down some basic components of your harvest, things like the date, the sex of the animal, the weight, the age, and then some basic antler measurements, things like maybe the number of points, an inside spread or an outside spread, it doesn't matter which one as long as you're consistent. And then if you really want to get in depth, you could get a main beam measurement on one side. And those things, as you look at those at the end of the season, and then particularly when you look at them year after year, will tell you a lot about what's happening with your harvest. And you can look at trends and body weights and antler characteristics and age structure and really know kind of what you're doing and if you need to adjust your harvest up, down, or if it's doing great. And that's good information to provide to a biologist if you're looking for detailed information on how many deer to harvest or things of that nature. We get a lot of questions about this, and we got some for this segment, and I'm going to go through a few of them. And the first is, how do you age a deer? And that's probably the biggest challenge for a lot of people. You know, it's not hard to weigh a deer or count antler points or measure a rack, but getting that age is a little bit more difficult. And to do that, you have to extract the jawbone from a deer and look at the teeth and wear on the teeth and the amount of what we call dentine and enamel. And it's a process, but you can either get help from a biologist or there's a lot of sources online that'll kind of help teach you how to age a deer. A related question to that is, why do I need to know how old a deer is? If you harvest a buck, and say it's a 6-point buck with a 12-inch inside spread and it weighs 130 pounds. If you don't know how old it is, you got a mystery. If that's a year and a half old deer, that's an outstanding deer and you're probably doing a great job managing your herd. If that's a 4.5-year old deer, that's pitiful, and you probably need to harvest some more deer, improve your habitat, or change something in your program. So that age component really tells you a lot about what you're actually harvesting. You're really wanting to have this data and look at it for a number of years to see the trends and what's happening with your population. Are things getting better, worse, or staying the same? And that's why it's so critical to have this information. And the age data is critical to be able to tell you what your weights and antler characteristics really mean. Another question we got, and we get this a lot, is how many does should I harvest on my property? You know, a lot of it's going to depend on obviously how big your property is, what the deer density on your property is, what your habitat is like. What's the habitat like around you? Do you have a lot of agriculture around you? Do you have development around you? What are your neighbors doing? Are there deer being harvested at a higher rate next to you or not being harvested at all? You know, there's a lot of things going on there. What is your fawn recruitment rate? How many fawns are surviving to get into the population every fall? There's a lot of questions, but, you know, by collecting good harvest data and having some good observational data of does and how many fawns they have, you can kind of get to a good point and establish how many deer you need to harvest. But a good rule of thumb from a starting out point before you have any data is to say about 25% of your adult does can be harvested every year to keep a stable population. So that's a good place to start if you have kind of an estimate based on cameras or observations about how many adult does you might have on your place. Another question we got is, what's an ideal sex ratio for the deer herd on my property? If you're at 1.5 does or 2 does to a buck, you're doing fine. You know, and a lot of people think they have a really skewed sex ratio and it's extremely out of whack. But honestly, it's about impossible to get worse than about 4 does to a buck. This is because they're born at about a 1-to-1 ratio. Does and buck fawns are born about the same rate. So over time, even though bucks do die at a faster rate in the younger age, you still can't get much worse than about 4-to-1. And most properties, you know, are probably in the 2-to-1, 3-to-1 range. The closer you get to an even sex ratio, the better it is, because you get a more compact rut, you get breeding activity that happens in a shorter window, you get it happening a little bit earlier, so you'll get fawns born earlier, which survive better. You get better hunting because you have more rutting activity in bucks, chasing does and tending does. And it's less stressful on your bucks because the breeding season doesn't get prolonged and they don't go into the winter in poor condition because they hadn't been chasing does around for 3 or 4 months. So getting your sex ratio balanced is a great thing to do. Thanks for submitting those questions. We hope you have a successful deer hunting season. And be sure to get in touch with us if you have any more questions about deer herd management.
So I don't know if that's a thing they're going to be doing or if that's just a one-timer, but, you know, it's hard. Why reinvent the wheel when they've already done it for you? Mm-hmm. So I hope you enjoyed that. If you're managing your deer herd, there's that's on the DNR website, or actually the Facebook page. You got one more thing for us?
I just have some news. There's another falling accident from a tree stand. A woman fell 20 feet from her stand in Carlton County, and she suffered multiple injuries, and she doesn't say that she was wearing a harness. So just that's just your kind of weekly reminder from us with deer stand in full swing right now. Just make sure to wear your lifeline, wear your harness, because it is worth it. If you don't have one, go get yourself one so you can always be prepared.
And if you're going to go get one from Hunter Safety Systems because they make the best ones because they're good people. And they're in the business to save your life. You talk to Jerry or his brother, that's what they'll tell you.
Yep.
It's not glamorous, but it is something that does prevent accidents. Mm-hmm. And it's just peace of mind, not only for you, but for everybody else that's around you that loves you.
Also, another piece of news, it is bear season around here, so if you're out on the trails, wouldn't be a bad idea to wear bright colors if you're if you're hunting on
walking
public
on,
property.
Yeah,
just be aware.
Be aware of people out there. All right. Thanks for tuning in. As always, make time to get out there.
Take the back roads when you can.
Don't forget that camera. We'll see you back here with a Halloween version of Woods and Water, South Carolina next week. Y'all have a good one. I'm gone to Carolina.